All right, so some of the roles and responsibilities, and before we kick this off, I'm going to say I'm not a tax or legal professional. You guys have heard a lot about that today. And I have to say that because if I don't, the compliance team comes through the door, they zap me and drag me out. But I do know that the legal responsibility for the almost everything that happens inside of the foundation is going to rest with the board of directors or the trustees. And the one thing that is, I think, important for each of you in this situation is to make sure that you have the appropriate safeguards in place to make sure that you are protecting yourselves and the other trustees. In the situation where Northern Trust is acting as trustee for this billion-dollar foundation, we meet quarterly. What is important to each of us in this trustee group, there are four of us, is that we take meeting minutes. And the meeting minutes generally run, it's about a 2.5 to 3 hour meeting. It'll be 10 pages of meeting minutes. Now, I write them, I hate them, but I really, really like them a year later when I'm like, oh yeah, we did talk about this, or no, this wasn't discussed. It's a best practice. I'd make sure that you do that. And it can't be, I think we've all seen meeting minutes where it says the following items were discussed: asset allocation, high yield, and then the meeting adjourned, and we all had a great lunch. If you're not like explicitly verbatim word for word, but really touching on all of the highlights of what took place during a meeting, it's very protective and it gives more guidance. Especially as Shannon noted, there's a lot of transitions that occur, so somebody can come in, get a great sense of the flavor of the conversations that have taken place over a long period of time. The next thing is being, I think, consistent in this. We have these quarterly meetings. They're critically important. You say, well, what happens if you have an off-cycle event? That does happen. We didn't have any emergency meeting in December. That 9% correction in December wasn't fun to go through. But it didn't rise to the level of we need to have a conversation around that. Now, there was a conversation around, and the reason I asked that question is, well, we think we have the wrong PE benchmark. So the trustees got together to have a conversation around what's the appropriate PE benchmark. We took notes on that specific meeting, even though it was a conference call, it wasn't held in person, it lasted 30 minutes, because that's going to be an important part of our record. Should we ever be questioned as to why we didn't take specific action relative to the assets that are inside of the foundation? So what I would say is just making sure that you follow your processes that are laid out in your mission statement or in your any sort of philosophy or IPS statement.
All right. I'm going to make a couple of comments on the investment committee and then maybe on defining success. So, investment committees are my clients. So that's who I spend most of my time with. I visit with the investment or finance committees of my clients every quarter, if not more often. I'm in constant communication with them about the markets and offering feedback and portfolio updates. And sometimes they get monthly reports, and I kind of am keep lines of communication open in case there are questions. What's really important for a investment or finance committee to designate from the start is how much flexibility do they have to make decisions or changes to the IPS without board approval. And the reason this is it's important is because everyone here that is on a committee can attest that, you know, it's a pain, it's time consuming, it's not the best use of time. If there are sweeping changes to the policy that changes that executive summary statement of purpose, then that may require board approval. There are other things that maybe the ranges on the strategic allocation or whether or not we are I'm going to revise the strategic allocation to try to increase the projected return because, you know, our capital market assumptions are lower and we need to, we need to deliver that 5% real return. So there's, you know, certain things that maybe the policy can be tweaked without board approval, and that's really good to know up front. You know, I think, you know, who's on the investment committee, who's on the finance committee. You know, I think suddenly when times get tough and, you know, you've got the government shutdown in the U.S. and China slowing down and the vice premier of China and, you know, the White House at the end of the month, and you've got, you know, Fed minutes around every corner and everyone's trying to interpret what they mean and if rates are going to go up and if, you know, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket again tomorrow, you know, nerves get on edge, opinions get strong. And I think, you know, having a group of people that where everyone is on the same page about the long-term objective of the foundation and of the pools of assets, that also works to your favor to make sure that everyone on the committee is on the same page.